Thank you. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, entitled King Chitraketu Meets the Lord. Text 51. Aham vai sarva bhutani. Bhutatma bhuta bhatbhana.
Bhutatma bhuta bhatbhana.
Sabda brahma param brahma.
Sabda brahma param brahma.
Mamo vesas bhatitanu. Aham vai sarva bhutani. Bhutatma bhuta bhavana. Sabda brahma param brahma. Mamo vesasvati
tanu.
Aham vai sarva bhutani. Bhutatma bhuta bhavana. Sattva brahma param brahma. Mamo vesasvati tanu. Did somebody would like to repeat, please? Aham vai sarva bhutani. Bhutatma bhuta bhavana. Sattva brahma param brahma. Mamo vesasvati tanu. Mamo vesasvati tanu. Vai sarva bhutani. Bhutava bhutavani. Aham vai sarva bhutani. Bhutatma bhuta bhavanah. Sattva brahma param brahma. Mamo vesasvati tanu. Aham sarva bhutani. Bhutatma bhuta bhavanah. Sabda brahma param brahma. Mamo vesasvati tanu. Thank you. Translation word by word. Aham, I. By, indeed. Sarva bhutani. Expanded in different forms of living entities. Bhuta Atma, the super soul of all living entities, the supreme director and enjoyer of them. Bhuta Bhavana, the cause for the manifestation of all living entities. Sabda Brahma, the transcendental sound vibration. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Param Brahma, the Supreme Absolute Truth. Mama, my, Uve, both, namely the forms of the the sound and the forms of the spiritual identity. Sasvati, eternal, Tanu, two bodies. Translation: all living entities, moving and non-moving, are my expansions and are separate from me. I am the supreme soul of all living beings, who exists because I manifest them. I am the form of the transcendental vibration like Onkar and Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. I am the super absolute truth. Those two forms of mine, namely the transcendental sound and the eternally blissful spiritual form of the deity, are my external forms. They are non-material. Purpose. The science of devotional service has been instructed by Narada Muni and Angira to Chitraketu. Now, because Chitraketu's devotional service, he has seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By performing devotional service, one advances step by step, and when one is on the platform of love of Godhead, Prema Purnato Mahan, he sees the Supreme Lord at every moment. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, when one engages in devotional service 24 hours a day, te sansatatam yuktanam bhajantem pritipurvakam, in accordance with the instructions of the spiritual master, his devotional service becomes more and more pleasing. This is interesting. In accordance with this is if one is engaged 24 hours a day, in accordance with the instruction of the spiritual master, two factors, his devotional service becomes more and more pleasing. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is within the core of everyone's heart, speaks to the devotee, Dadami Buddhi Yugantan Tanjena Man Upasyatin Upajantite. Chitraketu Maharaj was first instructed by his gurus, Angira and Narada, and now, having followed their instructions, he has come to the stage of seeing the Supreme Lord face to face. Therefore, the Lord is now instructing him in the essence of knowledge. The essence of knowledge is that there are two kinds of vastu, or substance. One is real, and the other, being illusory or temporary, is sometimes called non-factual. One must consider these two kinds of existence, that the real tattva or truth consists of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.11. Vadanti tattva vidas tattvam jajanan advajam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti savdyate. Learned transcendentalist who knows the absolute truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. The absolute truth exists eternally in three features. Therefore, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan combined are the substance. The categories of emanations from the non-substance are two: activities and forbidden activities, karma and vikarma. Karma refers to the mental activities of dream at night. Wow. Sorry. Karma refers to the pious to the pious life or material activities performed during the day, and the mental activities of dreams at night. Okay. There are more and less desires activities. Sorry, there are more and less desired activities. Vikarma, however, refers to illusory activities, which are sometimes like the will or the wisp. They are activities that have no meaning. For example, modern scientists imagine that life can be produced from chemical combinations, and they are very busy trying to prove in laboratories throughout the world. Although no one in history has been able to produce the substance of life from material combination, such activities are called vikarma. All material activities are actually illusory, and progress in illusion is simply a waste of time. These illusory activities are called akarya, and one must learn of them from the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:17. Karma no hi api bodhasvyam cha vikarmana, akarmanas cha bodhasvyam gahana karma no gati. Well, please be patient with me. It's a long purpose, so I think I didn't know, by the way. So perhaps, if you agree, we can do in two parts. Is that okay? Let's finish this part. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is. What forbidden action is, and what inaction is. One must learn of this different directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Anantadev, is instructing Chitraketu because of the advanced stage of devotional service he achieved by following the instructions of Narada and Angira. Okay, we can until this point, and then another point, okay. First of all, thank you so much for your patience. I didn't know I have to sit here. Somehow another, somebody else should be here, but that person couldn't come. But we have to continue honoring Srimad Bhagavatam as part of our program, and also for the benefit of all of us. So let's do it together, if you don't mind. Thank you. So at this stage, this point of Bhagavatam, it's quite interesting. It's the product of sadhana bhakti. As we can see, we are studying now the instructions of Sankarsan to Chitraketu. But for Chitraketu to reach this point is that he follows some kind of process. That it wasn't whimsical, like many times in our experience right now, we can meet people who are trying to follow kind of different spirituality or different processes. Then many of them are just concocted because out of intuition or perhaps some material skills that people can be influential and create their own, according to their own inspiration, some processes or so-called revelations. So we have a lot of variety, especially with the New Age movement that is happening. Certainly is the attempt of many people to, or everybody, to find about the purpose of life. And spirituality is part of our real experience of life. It's one of the needs that we all share. So in that searching process, we can find variety of options. But how to distinguish what is the right process to follow? Here, for example, we have some points, very important points stated by Krishna, and also our Guru Parampara, Prabhupada, established this, that the real process that we need to follow has to be authorized. That is what we call Guru Parampara. No? The disciple succession, the chain, the lineage that we follow has to be authorized, and the evidence of that is the people who follow that path, they achieve success, and they also can share their realizations. So that is basically what we are doing when we study Bhavatan. We learn those different processes that different pure devotees, advanced devotees, they followed, they experienced, and they share their realizations, in this case, Chitraketu Maharaj. And one of the main elements in those processes is the presence of a spiritual master, the guidance. It's not just a self-revelation that my heart, I meditated, or Krishna, God, reveals to me in a dream. It's not just that. No? It has to be the presence of an authorized spiritual master that who is guiding you through that process. So a spiritual master, the function of a spiritual master is actually vital. Without a spiritual master or spiritual masters, we cannot have a real success in our spiritual practice. So I remember once when somebody, a devotee, was explaining about what actually is the function of the spiritual master. Because, yes, Krishna in the heart also, as a Chaitya Guru, is also revealing knowledge for us, or to us. In that way, for example, yes, can be said that Krishna himself does that function, or he has that function of being the original spiritual master. And he has that, he manifests that function in different ways. And the instrument of that, one of the spiritual masters that we can have, they are the instrument via media, by media, that Krishna manifests himself through them. And of course, as we said before, in the heart of the all living entities. I hear also Krishna in the purpose Prabhupada emphasize that Krishna is sitting in the core of all living entities, in the core of the heart of all living entities, and has two functions. Somebody remember what is the function of Krishna in the heart? Two functions that we have been studying: witness and. And sanction, yeah, witness and sanction, when it's just with everybody, it's a neutral position. But once a devotee is more engaged or sincerely trying to practice a spiritual process and achieving certain level of purification, Krishna doesn't remain as a neutral agent there. He's more active. So from that stage, Krishna expresses himself and guide the living entity, the soul who is searching spiritual knowledge. So Krishna is more active, reciprocating the desire of the living entity, no more neutral, in neutral state. So that is another aspect that Prabhupada in the purpose was emphasizing, the presence of Krishna in three different levels. I've thought that this is quite a unique aspect in our philosophy, that I was doing kind of comparison, studying different religions and comparing the philosophies and some principles. And today in the morning I was listening a lecture, a documentary about the different religions in Western countries and in the East and modern times as well, how we share, or they share some points. For example, in the Christian tradition, Catholic tradition, it's not just the pop culture or pop aspect of the religion there, when they believe in God who is in the heaven and he's just watching to the living entities and judging. It's not just that, because the mystic aspect of the Christianity of Catholic Church also share the same point about the same understanding of God, about him as a person. And he has a relationship, loving relationship with the living entities. And you can develop that relationship by loving service. Like the same main principle that we are trying to study here in Bhavatan. And this point also is described in different religions in the East, where Vaishnava tradition, even Muslim people, so different degrees understanding, because spiritual principles are universal. So here in Krishna consciousness, through the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, we understand that Krishna is present in three different factors and three different aspects of the absolute truth. It's manifested in three different ways, so that create the vast knowledge and the also vast options to understand and interact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he manifests himself in different ways, unlimited ways, through his different energies, but at the same time, he remains a person who can develop that personal relationship with you. That is quite amazing in that aspect, because if we understand who is God, with those three aspects that Prabhupada mentioned about Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan, if we really think a bit more about it, we can see that's quite amazing, that way, that God, that being, is beyond my understanding. But at the same time, that being supreme, is giving me the opportunity to relate with him, to talk with him, to have a loving exchange with him. And it's part of my nature, our nature. So it's that's the mystic and the beauty of the spirituality that all of us, we are trying to share, and we are trying to achieve as well. So, as we were mentioning, the spiritual master, the position of the spiritual master as the main or vital factor in this process, somebody was mentioning that is like the lens. When we want to see one star. In astronomy, when we want to observe the stars from our naked eyes, we are not able to see much, just small points luminary in the sky. We cannot go more than that, at least no, my eyes are very limited. I need some glasses. But to observe more and understand that, we need some lens. And the idea is that as much lens that you can use, that will facilitate your vision. So that is the idea of the telescope, for example, even the microscope. To understand or to have that vision, we need those lens. And the spiritual masters are those lens. Without that, we cannot see or we won't be able to understand the absolute truth. So in that way, it's vital. And the connection. One of the things that, so that's my personal realization I wanted to share with you. One of the things that I always I was against is that when people try to get things in the material in the society, for example, we try to get or achieve things because of you deserve of merits or you are qualified. But when people try to get things through others means or not because you deserve, we think it's like an injustice, that it's not proper. And I used to be against that. That's not fair. Should be, you deserve your endeavor and you can get those things. But in the spiritual realm, the things work in a different way. I remember when I was in Vrindavan in India, I wanted to study Bhaktivaibhava and it'd be IIG. But I wasn't as a formal student constantly there. But because I knew Narayani Mataji, so she talked with the principal of the VIG, so they allowed me to go there because of her, because I knew her. And not because I, in one sense, I deserved, because I wasn't like a formal student, but because I knew her, I got that facility. So when I talked to her, Mataji, this is because of you. And she said, that is the way how it works in the spiritual realm. It's not because we deserve that we get things. It's because we serve through others. We serve others. Others help us. So that's the position of the spiritual master. Not because we deserve things, but the spiritual master, or those spiritual masters, and in the way how, for example, the dynamic in the spiritual world is that because you know somebody, you can have access to something. Because the gopis, they help each other, and the gopis, they have the sakis and the little manjaris and things, that because it's like a... You know somebody that give access to you to some facilities in service to Krishna, then at the end you will be connected to Radharani. Something like that, that dynamic works on there. That can be in the material, if we extrapolate that point in the material society, materialistic society, that is not, we don't see as a good thing. Well, that is my personal understanding, how important it is to receive the help of people who is qualified in the spiritual practice and their connection with God. Then gradually we can be elevated, even having access to those kind of knowledge and experiences. Not because of our qualification, because of out of their kindness, out of their compassion. Yes, the spiritual master, and that works. Oh, that's important for us to understand and how we can cultivate that aspect in our lives. And another point that perhaps we can keep in mind now is about the instruction that Krishna himself is giving to Chitraketu, Sankarsan. If we revise, I was trying to understand this point when before, in previous chapters, we were studying with Britasura and his prayers. And now it's Chitraketu, that is previous life of Britasura. And if we can study or compare the prayers that Chitraketu, under the guidance of Angira Muni and Narada Muni, was offering to Krishna in 7 days, no? His sadhana, very strict sadhana, 1 week, following the instructions of the spiritual master, the prayers and his devotional service, qualify him to have darshan of God. Krishna Sankarshan appears to him and guide him. But those prayers that he was offering compared to the prayers that Britasura offered to Krishna before dying, before being killed. 2 different stages of consciousness. Do you remember some of the prayers of Britasura? What he emphasized in those 4 main prayers, and then the prayers that Angira Muni, Narada Muni especially, teach Chitraketu. Can you see the subtleties, the difference? The same person, the same living being, the spiritual soul, different states of consciousness. So that we can compare and understand also, if we can try to see ourselves through that, what we can realize, what we can apply in our lives. For example, Britasura, in his 4 main prayers, he was straight to the point, glorifying to Krishna, glorifying devotional service, glorifying dasa, 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 nudasa, the effective process to achieve Krishna. He was straight to the point. But in the prayers that Narada Muni and Gira Muni are teaching to Chitraketu, it's a little bit more low pace, you know, glorifying the Lord, his qualities, how he's present, and also grateful, the beauty of the Lord. It's more internal, more personal. But when Britasura offered his prayers, is for the benefit of everybody, straight things that we can learn. Oh, this is the point, things, dasa, dasa. You understand the difference? That's my personal reflection that I wanted to share, spontaneous. I didn't prepare the class, I apologize for that. But in these days, I was trying to compare and see what we can learn and see this evolving process in the consciousness of Chitraketu. We have the opportunity to study before his previous life, in previous chapter, the life that posed to Chitraketu as a Brit, as a demon, but the consciousness of pure devotee that goes beyond external aspects. Now we see Chitraketu with everything favorable. Everything is beautiful compared to the moment when Britasura is expressing the pure state of consciousness in a completely different environment. He was fighting, and the moment is not at all beautiful from the aesthetic point of view. And so, yes, the consciousness is something that is not depending from the external aspects or circumstances. Also in this chapter, if we go back to the this text when Srila Prabhupada is explaining about the importance of understanding what we should do, the type of activities, karma and vikarma, what is action, what is inaction. Yeah, understanding these subtleties in order to see how we can perform our sadhana. That's the main point for us as a practicing devotees, how we can make more effective our sadhana. And this point of action and inaction, or inaction in action, is explained by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita. Do you know what is the difference? What is action and what is inaction? Could you please help me with this point? Bhagavad Gita, I think, is third chapter. What is action and what is inaction? Yeah, that's a good point. Yes. Yes. On Sunday, that was Devamrita Maharaj Vyasapuya. I wasn't able to attend to the celebration, but we thought the way to perhaps glorify Maharaj would be to listen his lectures. So whole day I was listening lectures, Devamrita Maharaj lectures. And a previous seminar of 3 days, seminar about love, lust, and whatever it was. But it was a seminar that had been done here, where Maharaj explained about the standard, the benchmark of our activity, the standard that we should all follow as a inaction. And he said, the benchmark is Krishna's pleasure. Looking everything, whatever makes Krishna happy, whatever makes Krishna pleased. So that is inaction. That is what we should all try to endeavor. And Bhagavad Gita basically is that. Understanding what activity that we can do can be aligned with Krishna's desires. And no our whimsical material desires. Generally, the tendency or the quality of our activities is based on our desires. If we have material desires, the tendency of our activities or the quality of our activities would be karma, like is explained here, that would generate reactions that are not favorable for us, or entanglement, and then lamentation, and ignorance, suffering. But if we base our activities trying to satisfy Krishna's desires, align with Krishna's desire, seeking Krishna being pleased, so then the quality of our activities will be more enlightening us and will be more favorable. It won't generate negative reactions. Basically, that is the point, what action inaction is. Details in how this can be applied varies according to our level of understanding and consciousness too, and the circumstance. But the main point is what will please Krishna the most. And we try to orient it or focus our activities on that. Yes, and if we want to talk a little bit more about the aspect of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhavan, for those who are listening perhaps online, and if they are new in Krishna consciousness or not too familiar, we can say that the Bhavan aspect of the Lord is the topmost aspect, the personal aspect of the Lord that encompasses different other areas, like, for example, the energy of the Lord. That energy of the Lord, that person has energy, that energy is the Brahman aspect. And the Paramatma aspect is how Krishna manifests himself in the heart of all living entities as the super soul. And as we discussed before, he has different functions according the level of consciousness, how Krishna is manifested in our heart. When we are more inclined to try to satisfy the Lord or be more proactive in the cultivation of a spiritual consciousness, Krishna take an active function to interact and facilitate with us in our spiritual practices and giving direct knowledge in the heart as a Chaitya Guru. So, any comment to this point in order to continue with the reading of this long purport and a beautiful purport, because it's quite a lot of points, and I'm afraid that I'm not doing justice to this, and I apologize for that. So, any comment? Yes, Prabhuji. Well, to my understanding, again, thank you for the question. If we can understand the question for those who are listening online, the question is if, as we discussed, for example, Vritasura, in the form of demon, he reveals his high level of consciousness, pure consciousness. Can we also understand if Hiranyakashipu or Hiranyaksha also, we can say if they have the same situation, the circumstance? That's the question. Well, basically, we can understand the level of consciousness is expressed in your activities and in the way how you interact. So, to my understanding, Hiranyakashipu, his activities were not at all aligned with what a pure devotee is. So he performed his function as a demon by Krishna's arrangement as a demon, properly demon, to demonstrate what are the levels that we can be in under the illusion of material energy for all of us. But even if they are demons, they were demons internally, like all of us, they are spiritual souls. We all also share the same nature. That aspect of being a pure devotee like us in Hiranyakashipu was dormant too. So it has to be awakened. So for Hiranyakashipu to perform those demonic activities that he did, his spiritual consciousness has to be in a dormant stage. So like we in one sense, and in our case, many times we can see that our pure state of consciousness is not manifested yet. Some devotees, they definitely they have that, but yeah, is that answer your question, Prabhu? Not really?
Yeah, because I just see the similarity between his Vijay and Jay, or pure devotees.
Yeah.
And it was pretty well realized the desire to actually fly with them, that they came and they came on after
it. Oh, okay.
I was wondering if their consciousness was similar to the
Oh. Got your point. As a Jai Vijay, they manifest a good, pure devotional service in they were Dasya and Santaras with Vishnu. So in order for them to be to come to material world and being demons, that aspect has to be covered of being a pure devotee. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to perform their material of demonic activities that they were meant to be. So that aspect, devotional life, It has to be suppressed, not manifested. Yeah, but of course, like we study in Bhagavad Gita, our real nature is spiritual, pure spiritual souls. That is our nature. We share. It's there. And it's not like we have to get that. But it's just covered. It's the way how, for example, can we understand why we even, in being a spiritual soul, one is engaged even in activities that is not proper to their nature. It's otherwise, how can be that possible? I was also questioning myself, if I'm a spiritual soul by nature, full of knowledge, bliss, and eternity, why? Sometimes I'm experiencing things that is opposite to my nature. How is that possible? And so we understand that that nature is covered by our own choice, due to our ignorance, by Krishna, through knowledge, association of devotees, very important point, we are able to awaken our consciousness and have experience even in this conditional state that we are. Because if we follow an authorized process, we are able to experience those glimpses of that spiritual nature that we have. Krishna kindly give us that opportunity. Hope. Yeah. Anything else? If that answers your question, Prabhupada. Yeah? Okay. So because it's about to finish the time, let's continue with the reading. Herein is it is said, Aham Bhai Sarva Bhutani. The Lord is everything, Sarva Bhutani, including the living entities and the material or physical elements. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7:4-5, Bhumir apo nalo vajur. Kan mano buddhir eva cha ahankara iti yang me vigna prakritin astada aparijan itastu anyam prakritin vidi me param jiva bhutan mahabaho jajedan daryate jagat. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separate material energies. Besides this inferior nature, almighty arm Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine, which consists of the living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. The living entities try to lord it over the material and physical elements, but both the physical elements and the spiritual spark are energies emanating from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord says, Aham Bhai Sarva Bhutani. I am everything. I am everything. Just as heat and light emanate from fire, there are two energies, the physical elements and the living entities from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Lord says, Aham Bhai Sarva Bhutani, expand the physical and spiritual categories. Again, the Lord is the super soul Again, as the super soul Again, the Lord as the super soul guides the living entities who are conditioned by the physical atmosphere. Therefore, he is called Bhutatma, Bhuta Bhavana. He gives the living entity the intelligence with which to improve his position so that he may return home back to Godhead. Or if he does not want to go back to Godhead, the Lord gives him the intelligence with which to improve his material position. This is confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Sarvasya chahan hridi sarvinishto matan smatir jana apoham cha. I am sitting in everyone's heart, and from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. From within, the Lord gives the living being the intelligence by which to work, with which to work. Therefore, the previous verse says that after the Supreme Personality of Godhead endeavors begin, we can independently endeavor or act upon anything. Therefore, the Lord is Bhuta Bhuvana. Another specific feature of the knowledge given by in this verse is that Sabda Brahma. That's an important point. It is also a form of the Supreme Lord. In his external blissful form, the Lord is accepted by Arjuna as Param Brahma. A living being in the conditional state accepts something illusory as substantial. This is called maya or avidya, ignorance. Therefore, according to the Vedic knowledge, one must become a devotee. And one must then distinguish between avidya and vidya, which are elaborately explained in the Upanishad. When one is actually on the platform of vidya, he can personally understand the personality of Godhead in his form like those of Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, and Sankarsan. The Vedic knowledge is described as the breathing of the Supreme Lord, and activities begin on the basis of the Vedic knowledge. Therefore, the Lord says that when he endeavors or breathes, the material universe comes into existence and various activities gradually develop. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Pranava Sarva Vedesu, I am the syllable Om in all the Vedic mantras. Vedic knowledge begins with the vibration of the transcendental sound Pranava, Omkara. The same transcendental sound is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Avinatvam nama namino. There is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I humbly suggest that tomorrow the next speaker could please explain this verse again, because this is really beautiful point that we need to study a little or discuss a little bit more. So who is coordinating the class, perhaps? Is you? Yeah, we can. Who? Devamrita Maharaj. Oh, wow, Krishna. So that this will be beautifully explained by him. Perhaps we can suggest that he can give the class tomorrow about this text, because it's quite beautiful. A lot of points. that deserve to be explained properly, and Maharaj will be the ideal one. So thank you so much for your audience. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.